I wanted to start with a bit of a confession, actually. Confession is this: I'm not a massive football fan. I'm afraid, as difficult as it is for some of us to hear, I'm sorry about that. I don't follow a football team regularly, kind of week in, week out. I don't really know very much about football at all. Not really a massive football fan. But a few weeks ago, something strange happened to me. I found myself in a big crowd of people watching England beat Sweden in the World Cup. And as I found myself in this crowd watching this football game, I suddenly found myself singing along with everybody else at the top of my voice. You know the song? It's coming home, it's come. We won't do a full rendition. It's probably a little bit raw still for some of us. But I found myself singing along with everyone. And as I sang, something really strange began to happen to me. I began to care about football and about those 11 guys chasing this ball around the field. And more than that, I began to actually believe this was it. This was our year. This was going to be our year. We were going to win the World Cup. Football really was coming home. Well, it wasn't, as it turned out. I was wrong about that. But that's kind of beside the point. The point is that the songs that we sing together are really powerful. They have the power to change the way that we think and feel about the world around us. That's what I experienced a few weeks ago. Maybe you did too, as you sang along as you watched the football. Singing songs together is powerful. And that's one reason why, that's the main reason why I think God gives us so many songs in His Word, the Bible. You might know that in the middle of your Bible's right in the middle, you've got a book full of songs. It's a book called Psalms, just a Bible word that means songs. And God gives us these songs, these psalms, to help us to learn to care about and feel the way He feels about ourselves and Him and life in this world. And this summer, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at one of these songs in particular, Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is a really long psalm, really long song in the middle of the book of Psalms, the middle of our Bibles. But it's really about one thing. The whole of Psalm 119 is all about God's Word and how brilliant it is, God's Word, the Bible. So if, a bit like me, you know you should really love the Bible and love to read the Bible and make it a priority to read the Bible every day, and you know you should be really excited about reading the Bible, but the reality is you often find you're not, and it's not as much of a priority as you know it should be, and it doesn't excite you as much as you know it should. Well, this Psalm 119 that we're going to look at together over the next few weeks is really going to help you and help us to feel the way about God's Word that He does and that we should, to love God's Word and to grow in how much we listen to it and how much we do it. So I think looking at this psalm is really going to help us all over this summer, over these next few weeks. You'll see inside your service sheet, I've printed out the little bit of Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. We're only going to look at a little bit each week. You'll see I've printed out just the bit that we're going to look at today. And I've got a little challenge for you as we look at this psalm today. As I said, Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. It's all about God's Word. And in almost every single line of the song talks about the Bible, talks about God's Word, uses different words for the Bible, calls it things like your law or your commands. Those are a couple. There are some others in there as well. Here's my challenge for you today. Have a look on that sheet there, and as we're kind of going through the psalm a bit later on, see if you can circle all 8 times in this bit of the psalm that the psalmist talks about God's Word, okay? There are 8 different times, but he uses slightly different words each time, or most times. If you can circle all 8, and whoever you are, bring up your little piece of paper with 8 circles in the right place afterwards, not right now, later on, while we're having tea, I've got a prize for you if you can do that, okay? So that's a little challenge for later on.
Today's reading is from Psalm 119. Starting at verse 97, which is the bottom right-hand corner. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
Thanks, Elle. Well, like all the best songs, this song, Psalm 119, it's a love song. Did you notice that? But it's a strange love song in a way, because of what it's all about being in love with. Have a look back at the first line, verse 97. And this is, we're singing this song, the psalm is addressed to God, and the song starts, "Oh, how I love your law." And that's kind of strange, isn't it? Because most of us, most of the time, I would guess, we don't love rules and laws, do we? I've got some rules and laws here with me. And just put your hand up if you would say you love this particular law. Okay? Health and safety law. Health and safety legislation. Anyone love a bit of health and safety legislation? No. No, don't think so. We don't really. You wouldn't say you love it. What about? Here's another one. Anyone love some good pool rules? You know, when you get to the pool on holiday and you're just about to do a bomb, and you look over and it's no bombing, and then you're just about to kind of bring your pet in, and it says no pets or something like that. We don't really love pool rules either, do we? I don't know, maybe might have a few more takers. What about GDPR? The new EU data protection rules? Anyone love that bit of legislation? We've got one or two kind of quite strange people, who do, for some reason, love that. We'll put that one up there. I guess most of us, most of the time, though, we don't love rules and laws, do we? Because, they're just boring, aren't they? And it seems like a lot of the time that they're just made up to kind of spoil our fun and take away our freedom, is how it feels sometimes, isn't it? So the question is, how come in this song, as we learn to sing this song, how can we sing to God, "I love your law"? Seems a strange thing to sing. Is it just that the psalmist is a bit odd, like one of those strange people who like some of these things? Well, no, the reason is because God's law, by which the psalm means the Bible, God's law, the Bible, is not like those laws. It doesn't take away our fun and freedom. In fact, it does the opposite. And the song goes on to explain the reason why God's people love God's law, God's word. And it's because God's law gives us the most valuable, the most precious thing you could ever have in your life. What is the most precious, the most valuable thing you could ever own in your life? Well, according to the Bible, it's this. Wisdom is the most precious, the most valuable thing you could ever own. And the way to get it is through God's word, the Bible, this song says. Have a look at the next couple of lines. Verse 98, the song says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." So this song says, armed with just a Bible, the Christian is wiser than anyone else that you could think of, enemies, teachers, the elders. And so I thought, well, this is something we have got to test out, haven't we? So I need a few volunteers for this next bit to kind of test this principle out. And I think I didn't want to single anyone. We've got a few people, haven't we, in the song there. First of all, the first group of people who are in view are enemies, aren't they? Do you see that there in verse 98? Wiser than my enemies. I didn't want to single anyone out to be an enemy. Well, I did, but I singled out Ian. So Ian's going to come and help me with this bit. So Ian's going to come and help me. And the next people we need, you see in the next line, I have more insight than all my teachers. So I could really do with a teacher to come and help me for this next bit. And I haven't picked on anyone. So is anyone here a teacher who would be up for coming and help us to test out this principle? We've got Lucy, yeah, thanks very much. Well done. If you just come over this side, Ian, probably just over here is a slightly better place to be. And then the last group of people, do you see in that next line? 100, I have more understanding than the, see it, elders. So we've got elders here in our church. Our church is led by elders. So I need an elder, and I haven't singled one out. Who are some of our elders who are here who could come and help us with this? Nicholas, yeah, brilliant. You could come up and help us with this. That's great. And just to make things really clear, we've got a few little props. Obviously, Ian's going to be an enemy. Who's kind of the biggest, baddest, and wisest, smartest enemy out there? Darth Vader. So Ian, if you just pop that one on. Lucy, you're a real-life teacher, so you don't really need any kind of additions, so you get away with that. Nick, you're quite a young-looking elder. So I think we need to make you look kind of that little bit older. So if you could just pop that on your head, that'd be great. So we've got our enemy, we've got our teacher, and we've got our elder. We need a Christian now armed with the Bible. And Finley is going to come and help me with this. Where's Finley? I can't see Finley. Oh, Finley's there. If you could just come and help me with this, that'd be great. And what we're going to do, test this principle out, is I'm going to set Finley and our enemy and our teacher and our elder a few challenges, and we'll see who succeeds in these challenges. But the difference is going to be that Finley, our Christian, is going to be equipped with the Word of God toolkit here, okay? And you guys aren't, I'm afraid. So, Finley, if I just give you that there, and if you could just stand maybe just around this side, if you guys could shuffle along that way a little bit, just so I can get some of my bits and pieces over here, that's great. And our first challenge, we'll go head-to-head, the Christian with God's Word toolkit against everyone's worst enemy, Darth Vader. And this challenge, it's nice and easy, is I would like you to, here you go, Darth Vader, there's your kind of various bits and pieces, you take that and that, and here you go, Finley, I'll give you those, yeah. I'd like you to screw these two pieces of wood together. So I've given you a couple of pieces of wood and a screw, and I'd like you to screw the two together. Okay, so you ready? Steady. Go. Okay, right. So Finley's got, just careful of the table a bit there. Oh, he's got a screwdriver out. Brilliant. And just don't go into the table there. That's brilliant. Great. How are you getting on there, Darth Vader? You use the force or something? Are you done? I think you're done there pretty much. Hey, brilliant. So Finley, just hold it up and show us there. So I think you can probably stop there if you like, Darth Vader. I think you've been beaten on that one. You made a good start, but Finley managed to accomplish that one with his Word of God toolkit. Okay, so that's one to the Christian and nil to enemies. So next challenge then, we'll see how teachers fare. Okay, so next challenge, I would like you to blow up this. I've got two deflated balls here. I'd like you to blow that up, please, if you can. So teacher versus Christian with his Word of God toolkit. Ready, steady, go. Ah, handy. He's got a pump in the toolkit. Ideal. How you getting on there, Lucy? Go for it. Keep going, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, go for it. That'll do the job. Okay, as long as it's all the way in. Is it all the way in? There you go. It'll go all the way in with it. Oh, yeah, you just got to get it all the way in here. Okay. Keep going, Lucy. You're doing well. That's all right. There you go. You got it. There you go. Pump away. Keep going, Lucy. You got a bit of a head start there, so you might do all right on this one. How are you getting on? Great. Oh no, Finley is actually overtaking you quite a bit now. Oh, and I think he's done it. I think he's beaten you to it on that one as well. So again, that's two to Finlay. You can probably stop there, Lucy. Thanks. Good effort, though. Okay, so it's 2-2 to our Christian, armed with the Word of God. And third and final chance then, we'll see how the elders fare in this one. Final challenge. Here, Nicholas, you take that. That's a candle. And I would like you both to light that candle. Ready, steady, go. Let's see what... Finley's having a look through the toolkit. You might want to look in the top bit there. I think the top section's got some handy things in. Have a look through the toolkit, see what you can find. Oh, look at that. It's got a lighter, very handy. How you got on there, Nicholas? You got an app for that? No. Finley's there. He's done it. So I'm afraid he's beaten you there, hands down, 3-0. Well, thanks very much for helping us test that. You guys can grab a seat. Thanks very much. I'll take your bits and pieces back. Thanks very much. Thanks, Finley. That's brilliant. Oh yeah, we'll blow that out. Health and safety. Thanks. So, equipped with God's Word toolkit, Finlay there was able to face all those challenges and find the resources in his toolkit that he needed to succeed in all of those challenges. And this song says that God's Word, the Bible, that's what God's Word is like. It equips us with what we need to face all of life's challenges and problems. Won't mean that life is always easy and that we never face any challenges or problems. But what this song says is that equipped with God's word, we'll have what we need to face those challenges and problems. And so that is why God's people love God's word. And love to sing this song about how we love God's word is because God's word is the source of wisdom. And it's the only source of this kind of wisdom. You won't find the kind of wisdom to enable you to face all of life's challenges and problems in any other book or magazine or website. It's only to be found in God's word. And that is why this song says we love God's word. But loving God's word, it's not just a kind of feeling. It's not just a sort of warm, fuzzy feeling towards the Bible. It's action as well. And it involves specifically, we see in this song, two actions. And the first thing it involves, loving God's word, it involves chewing. Chewing over God's word, thinking about God's word, thinking really hard about what God has to say to us in his word. Have a look at verse 103 of Psalm 119, where the song says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The song says God's word, it's like food, and the way he takes it in, it's like eating the best, sweetest food. And then not only that, have a look at the first line again, verse 97, the second part, he says, "I meditate on it, on your word, all day long." And then he says it again in verse 99, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." That word meditate is kind of like the same kind of word as you'd use to describe what a cow does when it chews grass, and you know it kind of turns it over and over and chews it over and over and over and sucks all the goodness out of it. This song says that's what loving God's word looks like, turning it over and over, chewing it over in your mind all day long, the song says. That's why reading the Bible first thing in the morning, first thing you do when you get up, reading the Bible is a really good idea because it means that you can spend the rest of the day thinking about what God said to you that morning in his word, chewing it over, turning it over. It's one of the reasons why it's a really good idea to have Bible apps on your phone. So you can get a Bible app and you can get daily reading Bible notes on your phone so that when you're kind of sat there in an idle moment, instead of playing Angry Birds or scrolling through Facebook or whatever, you can chew over God's word. Think about it all day. That's what loving God's word looks like in practice, this song says. But not only chewing, loving God's word, it also involves doing. Chewing and doing. And we see that in the rest of this song. Have a look at verse 100. I have more understanding than the elders. Why? For I obey your precepts. I've kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. Loving God's word is not just thinking about God's word, but it's putting it into practice, doing it in your life as well. That's one of the reasons why, as a church, we never want to become a kind of just a service that happens on a Sunday where, you know, you kind of turn up and you watch something and then you go home and you see everyone again the next week. We want to be a community as a church that share our lives with each other throughout the week so that day to day, week to week, on our kind of front lines as we live out the good news of the Bible in our daily lives, we can help each other to do that. That's why we want to be involved with each other's lives, so that we can help each other do what God's word says to us. So loving God's word, it means chewing and doing, chewing over it, thinking hard and doing it, putting it into practice in our lives. So this is God's call to us today as we learn to sing this song together, to become those who love God's word and in it find wisdom to face all of life's challenges by chewing over it and doing what it says. However, there is one problem with all of this. Problem is, we can't. We can't do it. None of us by ourselves can really sing this song and it be completely true of us. Because none of us love God's word as we should, do we? None of us think about it, chew it over in the way we should. None of us do it in the way that we should. A little while ago, I had a job to do in our garden. I had to install a new outside tap on the outside of the wall in the garden. And so I did the obvious thing that I take it we all do when we're faced with a job that we should probably call in a professional for. I Googled it and watched a few YouTube videos, and I thought, I can do this. This doesn't look too bad. So I got my tools out, and I got my toolkit out, and I got the various things I needed, some special kind of plumbing tape, and I got my spanner, and I started working away on this outside tap, and I got it a bit wrong at first, and I thought, no, I can still do this, and I kept going, and I kept getting the spanner around the wrong way and getting the tape tangled up, and after a while, I realized I really couldn't do this actually, and I was stuck. And if you've ever read your Bible and thought, I'm going to do this, I can do this, and then you try and live it out, you'll know that same experience of coming unstuck and realizing, no, I can't do this actually. And after a couple of hours with my spanner and my tape and YouTube and trying to get this outside tap on, I came to admit to myself that I really couldn't do this job on my own. And so I stopped and I got out my phone and I phoned my friend Clint, who's really good at this kind of thing. He's a plumber. And I said, Clint, that I'm stuck. I can't do this. I've messed this up. Please, would you come and help me? Could you help me do this? And he said, yeah, I'll come around straight away, because he's nice like that. And he did, and he came around, and he took my tools off me, same tools as I was using, and he did the job for me really quickly, did it really well, did it for me, did what I couldn't do myself. And as he did it, he taught me. He showed me, look, this is where you're going wrong. This is what you need to do differently. And when we find ourselves trying to live out God's word in our own strength, by our own effort, and failing and getting stuck and realizing we can't do it, the good news is that's okay, because ultimately it doesn't depend on us being able to do it. It depends on Jesus being able to do it. The good news of the Bible is that Jesus came to sing this psalm and to fulfill the rest of the Bible and to do what none of us could ever do. in our own strength. Jesus can sing this song perfectly. Jesus loves God's word as we all should. And he thinks it over and he does it in his life as we all should, but none of us can do on our own. And the good news is that Jesus, he is willing and able to help us to learn to love God's word and put it into practice. And as we ask him for help, he loves to come alongside and by his spirit equip us and help us to sing this song for ourselves. So why don't we close by doing that, by asking him to help us, Cherie? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for coming into this world to do what we could never do by ourselves and to be what we should be but can't be by ourselves. We thank you that you fulfill this psalm perfectly. And we thank you that you invite us now to come to you and ask for your help and to receive your help. And so we do, Lord Jesus, ask you by your Spirit, please would you help us to love God's word and to live it out in our lives as we should. Thank you so much for giving us your Spirit and the fact that he is at work in us, enabling and empowering us. We pray that you'd help us to help one another to be those who love your word and build our lives on it. And we ask that for your glory's sake. Amen.